something. Hallelujah. Father, we recognize you and we thank you for the honor of how you've come this morning. And we acknowledge you in the room and all that your presence has brought in with it, angels that have come. Holy Spirit, you have brought healing and direction and articulation for the road ahead for us. Thank you, Father, for the vision that you've brought for businesses. Thank you for the restoration of marriages and the standing up straight of children. Thank you, God, for what you've brought, even for the healing of our nation. We say thank you, and we say yes to all of it. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would think through my thoughts and speak through my mouth and bring the fullness of what the Father has intended for this morning, and we'll follow you. We love you, Lord, and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated this morning. I want to thank you, Pastor, for those words that you said, and you honor me with such a place. I can certainly say that I feel the same, not only just about you all personally as friends, I count you as friends, but also for this house. This is just my second time here. And how many of you know that God will knit hearts specifically, but he'll also knit ministries? And there's just something about it, and he does it with purpose, and it's certainly unique. It stands out to me when I come into a church that I know what I would say is there's a bond with a depth of purpose, but there's a bond that will be for all eternity. Amen. So you're just going to have to put up with me now because you're stuck with me and I'm stuck with you. Just get over the fact that my heels are really high and my hair is big. Praise the Lord. It's true. You can laugh. But I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. And so it is a joy. I told the ladies that this spot on my calendar has been a bright spot for some time. And also with it sort of a knowing that God had designed some specific special things to happen in these services. Amen. And so we're just grateful and lean upon his graces and his anointing for that to be. So I would just say open wide. You know, you made it here. You're right on time. So rather than sit back and wait, just lean in and open wide. Amen. And you'll get all that heaven's brought in the room. If you've brought your Bibles this morning, and I'm sure you have because you're a well-taught bunch, or you may have the app on your iPhone if you're just so cool like that, go ahead and open up to the book of Acts in chapter 11. And I want to just say, first of all, to this house that I stand in such gratefulness to you for your partnership with me. I believe last year when I was here, I told some stories about some ministry work that I've been doing in the nation of Grenada. Did I tell the chicken story last time I was here? You guys remember the chicken story? Well, if you weren't here last time and you're like, what is she talking about? You're just going to have to ask somebody after the service. And we'll see if we can work it in at some point. But I've been ministering in that nation for 17 years now. And people say, why Grenada? I don't know. There's no rhyme or reason other than it was just an assignment of heaven. And I know he loves me because he assigned me a Caribbean nation in the West Indies. So I've got some kind of pull, you know, and I'm grateful. It is hotter than all get out, but it's pretty, you know. So I've been going there. Well, last year when I was here, I can't remember, I believe I may have mentioned that the Lord had given us directives and there was an opening, an invitation to go to Grenada and to bring in its totality from the States and set up in Grenada a nationwide Christian event. And Grenada as a nation has never had such an event for godly purposes. And the directive that the Lord gave to me was to do this specifically for the women of that nation. Now, I remember when he spoke this thing to me, and I thought, God, if we're going to go through all this work, you know, and all this money's going to have to come, and we're going to do this on a grand scale, why don't we just open it up to everybody? I mean, why don't we just win a nation in a day and call it done? But the Lord said, the women. And I said, why the women? He said, I'm moving in that nation, but I want to move specifically among the women first as a sign to those people. Well, going there for 17 years, I understood why that would be a sign to those people. Because in their culture specifically and markedly, the women are very much second-class citizens. They're very dishonored and they're very broken. It is nothing in that culture for a man that would be considered an upright standing, even maybe call himself a Christian man, to have two or three families and not live with any of them. Somewhere there's a breakdown in the family institution and what's being taught to those men. But along with that, the women have just assimilated into that culture. And so the marching orders that God gave to me was, I want you to go in and hold this conference for these women and treat them like royalty, because I want to honor what has been dishonored and I'm going to restore what has been broken. Doesn't that sound like the heart of a father to you? And he wanted to do it as a sign. So we began, it was a year of preparation. It was a budget for this event in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, because we weren't just going in and doing it on their level. We were bringing them the best of the best. And so when these women came, they came to a red carpet that was 60 feet long. And we had about 40 people from America that had come. Pastors' wives and Christians came from all over. We had, I think, 9 different states represented on our team. And they were holding big signs. We had huge banner signs printed that they were holding. And it said, "Welcome. We're so glad you made it." And so when they women would come to the bill, they had no idea what to expect. All of these American women would start cheering and yelling for them and taking their picture. If you could have seen the shock on their faces. I mean, these are women that won't even make eye contact with you on the street. And here they're being celebrated like royalty. There was one woman that came, and when she got halfway down the red carpet, she was so overcome. She was crying so hard, she fell on her knees on this red carpet. We have a picture of it. And one of our ladies rushed over to help her. You know, they thought something was wrong with her. And they got down in her ear, and she's just weeping. And they said, "Ma'am, are you okay?" And she said, "I've never been treated with kindness in my life." So the ministry that the Lord had set up started when they reached, you know, the grounds. And so for 2 days, we poured into these women. We spoke destiny over them. We had the pastors come up and speak and declare words, prophetic words over the women and over the nation. It was a tremendous, tremendous event. And this church, River Valley Community Church, sowed a specific seed and partnered with us and joined forces to take a nation. And I want you to know that even while your pastor was declaring a city can be won, you were sending seed and sowing into an entire nation. Amen. Glory to God. You ought to clap for that. And I'm so grateful for that. How many of you know when God calls you to a great work and your friends show up out of nowhere and say, "We're going to be a part of that. We're going to help you." It means something. It does something on the inside of you. So you have seed that was sown there. And I will just say that when I flew in to their capital there in St. George's, I arrived to the news that I had been sent an invitation to the president's office the very next morning. And so, of course, I was preparing. I was looking forward to a night's sleep. That did not happen. And so I'm preparing, trying to get by the Holy Ghost, why does this president of this nation want to meet with me? Because I am not going to jail. And, you know, you just get crazy things in your head when you're in another country. And so I was just picturing, like, if they try to imprison me for some reason, they'll have to start, like, a petition on Facebook, like, free Jen, you know, and people will say, I know, it, maybe you wouldn't go there, but I've got it, quite an imagination. And so anyway, so I began to pray, and the Lord reminded me of some things that he had had me praying for the nation and for the government. And the Lord gave me a prophetic word for the president of Grenada. And so when I went to his office that next morning, I took my assistant with me, and they took us through a series of protocol with their security. It was very intense. He was meeting with his cabinet that day. That would be like if our president was meeting with our Congress that day. And so all of the cabinet members were there at the Capitol building, so there was an incredible amount of security. And so they took us through the protocol, and they said the president has a very busy day, and so you will have 15 minutes with him, and he has asked to meet with you, and so he will control the conversation. I said, yes, sir. And so we went through security, and they called for us, and so they opened these big doors. And so we were ushered into his inner office where he works. And so when we came in, he was seated behind this great big circular desk, and they had chairs set up in a semicircle where we were to go. And so they had walked us through, you know, that they referred to him as their prime minister. And so they had talked us through protocol. And so I greeted him. Oh, thank you for meeting me, you know, most honorable Prime Minister, Dr. Keith Mitchell. It was a lot to remember. And so it was very uncommon, you see, for a head of state in the West Indies to meet with a white woman from the United States. And so this was already sort of precedent setting. And so he stood to greet me, and when he stood to greet me, he reached over his desk and extended his hand to me. That they don't do that. And so this was an extension that he was taking this meeting from a formal setting, giving me an indicator that this was an informal setting. And so I greeted him, and we sat down, and he said, Reverend, it seems that we are behind in thanking you for all that you have been doing on behalf of the women of the West Indies. I said, wow, thank you. So he really honored me. And I said, well, sir, it's my honor. And so he went on to elaborate about, you know, the government's job in meeting the needs of the people. And he stopped and he said, but that's what I do from my office. And what you do from your office can minister to the people of our nations in a more significant way. Now, this man is not a Christian. You know, he is pretty much a nominal Catholic. And so it was at this point that the Holy Spirit nudged me about the word that I was carrying for him. You see, I'm taking time to say this to you because there are many of you that are sitting in this room that before your life is over, you will be brought before very influential people and those that stand in high-ranking places of authority. And your mind will tell you, I am not prepared for this, but the Spirit of God will rise up and equip you and deputize you for a moment you were made, even destined to walk into. Get ready for it. And so in that moment, I said, well, Honorable Prime Minister, I said, I have spent a great deal of time, as has my team, praying for Grenada. And I said, in doing so, sir, we have been praying for you. And I said, and in recent times in praying for you, it would seem to me that there are specific relationships and alliances that you've had around you for some time that they, for different reasons, are going to begin to move away from you. And it would be your normal response as a politician to sort of gather back up and secure those relationships, but it would be better if you would let them go. You'll be better off for it. Now, when I said that, you got to know that all of his security and everybody in the room got real serious, because this was not the meeting surely they were thinking was going to take place. And he looked at me very seriously. And all of a sudden, he did the strangest thing. He lifted both of his hands up by his head, and he closed his eyes. And he made this gesture, and he said, "Let them go. Let them go." And when he did that, on the inside, in my spirit, I said, "God, that was his agreement with your word. Now you can move on his behalf." And so in that moment, while his heart was sensitive, we said, "Sir, may we pray for you?" And he said, "Yes, please do." And he bowed his head almost to his desk and gave me the honor of praying over him. Well, I understood that it was an honor to pray for this man, but he sits in the highest seat of authority in the land that I'm called to. And by bowing his head and allowing me to pray for him, it's giving me access and jurisdiction in that nation through the highest office for the Spirit of God to come in and do some things for those people he's been longing to do. You mean all of that was connected to you saying yes to go on a missions trip to Grenada 17 years ago? Absolutely. What have you been holding on to your yes about that God's been trying to set you up for something you have no idea? Yes. Could it be even to affect a city, a state, a nation? When I left that man's office that day, I had taken one of the local pastors with me, and his eyes were as big as quarters. He said, "You are a bold woman." I said, "We grow them strong in the South, buddy, okay?" He said, "I've heard that." I said, "You heard right." I want you to look here in Acts chapter 11. Is it okay if we follow the Holy Ghost today? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Acts chapter 11 is a very specific time in the body of Christ, and I believe that it is very indicative of the time that we are in right now. And I want to read this to you out of Acts 11, and let's just pick up in verse 12. "And the Spirit bade me go," I'm reading out of the King James, "and the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brothers accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house." The man's house they're speaking of is Cornelius. Cornelius was a captain in the Roman military. "And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house." I want to say to you that we are living in a time of great angelic activity. I want to say to you that as believers, you ought to be aware and sensitive to it. That the word declares that you and I will even entertain angels unaware. You and I know that as believers, we are having to believe God for our divine protection. It's not enough anymore that we just live in the good old United States of America where nothing ever happens. Have you watched the news? A lot happens here. And so I can't just depend on the fact that I live in the quiet old state of Indiana, that no harm's going to come near my dwelling place. No, I have to go into the secret place of the Most High under the shadow of His wings, because that is my place of protection. So it doesn't matter if I'm in Indiana or California. I walk in divine protection. And God says that He's given a sign to each one of you in this room to, actually, the word says, guardian angels. So if we just went with the amount of heavenly hosts that's in this room this morning, based on the guardian angels that are assigned to each one of us, we have quite a host here today. And so Peter comes to Cornelius' house, and he takes them and shows him a place where an angel stood. You know there's angels standing in your home, listening to the words that are said, waiting for a place to be given access to do what they're sent there to do, which is protect you. But do you know that the other reason they're assigned to you is to help you walk out your destiny? Did you know that your guardian angels are fully versed in the assignment and the destiny of God on your life? God clued them in on it before He assigned them to you. They know about all your divine connections. They know about all your right places at the right time, and they're there to assist you in getting you to them. Do not oppose them with your words. It's serious today. I was recently on a plane going to minister in the Outer Banks of North Carolina. And as I got on the plane to go to North Carolina, I sat in my seat by the window, and I had been sort of working on myself lately that when I got on planes, I would be friendlier to the person sitting next to me. Not that I was a mean person, but you know, when you're on the go and you're with people all the time, plane time is not really my talkative time. I just want to stare out a window or pray to God's sleep or go over my notes. You know, it's gen time. You understand? And so recently I thought, you know, I need to be more aware. Should the Lord want to use me to minister to the person sitting next to me? And so this man got on the plane, and he was putting his bag up above me, and he was a big, huge guy. I mean, he looked like he could be an NFL football player. And so he put his bag up, and so I looked up at him, and so I put on my nicest smile I could, and I said, "Hello, sir." And he went, and I thought, well, I'm off the hook. He obviously doesn't want to talk. And so he sat down, you know, and so I'm kind of getting situated. And so the flight attendant comes, you know, and is making sure everything's okay. And he sort of glanced out the window over by me. And so I kind of pushed the shade up so he could see. And I just smiled at him, and he was just nothing. I thought, God, I tried. That was twice. I really gave it a concerted effort. And I was tired. I had been in a series of meeting after meeting, and I was really fatigued on that, getting onto that flight, going into that meeting, and I had like six services coming up ahead of me. And so I just remember, the last thing I remember is the flight attendant came, because it was a long flight from Dallas, and so she had asked me what I wanted, you know, to drink, and I think they were bringing a snack or something. And so I told her, and that was the last thing I remembered. Now, when you fly in a lot, you know that even if you tell them what you want, if when they come to bring it, you're asleep, forget it. They are not giving you nothing. You are on, if it's not in your bag, you ain't getting it. And so I just fell off into this really heavy sleep. And so I woke up however long later, we were still in flight. And right when I woke up, I noticed that she was going by, but this man that was sitting next to me had gotten all the stuff from her that I had asked for and was laying it out on this little console next to me. And I thought, how kind. And so I kind of woke up, you know, and And I kind of looked at him and wanted to say thank you. He would not make eye contact with me. And I was like, this is one tough cookie, you know? And so I was just so grateful because I was famished. And so anyway, they were taking all the food and stuff. And so I still had about an hour on this flight. You know, those planes get freezing cold. I mean, I don't know what the problem is. They're like ice boxes. And so I was drifting off to sleep, and I thought, man, I just wish I had asked her for a blanket. And so I'm drifting off to sleep. I'm not kidding you. All of a sudden, the flight attendant comes by. The man reaches out to her arm, grabs a blanket, and sets it on the console in between us. I was like, what is going on here? Well, I've already tried three times. So I just took the blanket, put it over me, and went to sleep. And so the next thing I know, I wake up to, you know, put your seats forward. We're about to land. And so we land, and I just feel so refreshed. And so we're getting all our stuff together, you know, and it's time for us to get off the plane. And so this man gets up, and he stepped back so that I could get off. And I thought, well, somebody raised him right. Praise God. And so I stood, you know, and I was in the first seat, so I go to get off. And so I thanked the flight attendant, and I went around the corner to step from the plane to the jet bridge, and I was just really about to take off, and all of a sudden, I felt this hand on my back, and I heard this deep voice right next to me, and he said, wait. And it just scared me. And so I stopped, and all of a sudden, I heard the flight attendant say, oh, my word. And I looked down, and there was a big gap between the jet bridge and the plane, and I would have stepped and gone right through it. And it so shocked me, and she yelled at that attendant. She said, move that bridge closer. And so the lady was right there, and she did. She moved it closer. And, I mean, all these people are waiting to get off, you know. And so I just jolt, and I'm walking up that jet bridge, and my heart is just beating. And I thought, God only knows what could have happened to me. You know, that man really saved me. And so when I'm walking up, I thought, I'm going to get to the top of this jet bridge and move over and get out of the way, and I'm going to turn around and thank this man. And so I get up to the top of the jet bridge, and there's all these people waiting to get on the flight. So I go right past them about six steps, and I turn around, and he is gone. And I'm looking. I mean, the people in the row behind me are right there. It's not like a bunch of people got by me. And I whip around. There is no way he can get by me, and I'm looking. And he's a big, tall football player guy. You can't miss him. He's nowhere to be found. And I just stood there, stunned. And the Spirit of God said, I give my angels charge over you. Hallelujah. Wow. Something about this with you all in this church. Angels assist you, you know. Everywhere you go. You little guys in the room, kids, teenagers, you know, angels go with you when you get on the bus and you go to school and you go to work. They keep you in all your ways. I was ministering in a church in the cornfields of Illinois. I mean, like, we drove 3 hours from the largest airport to get there. And there's no hotels in this little town. And so they'd built like a minister's quarters, you know, where they kept guest ministers out in the middle of nowhere. It was just so creepy. I was repenting for every scary movie I ever let myself watch. I'm like, who puts a girl out in the cornfields to stay by herself? Is this like a test, you know? But I was so tired. Again, I had just been on the go. And by the time we got out there, it was so late. It was Saturday night. I had an early morning meeting. And so I went in, and it was like a living room, and then there was a bedroom off to the side. So I got everything settled, and I had gotten into bed, and I had my Bible laying on my lap, and I was just going to read over some of my notes for the morning. And so the way that the bed was in this room, the bed was here, the door was here, there was a dresser here and a corner and a wall. It was just a small square room. And so I opened my Bible, and I looked at my Bible, and I had my knees propped up and my Bible on it.
And all of a sudden, it was like everything in me stood to attention. And I knew something was in that room. And I just closed my eyes, and when I opened them, there was this huge angel standing in the corner. And he was standing like this. And so I just looked back down at my Bible. And I sort of glanced over, and I said, "Holy Ghost, is that an angel in the corner?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Why is he here?" It's a good question to ask. He said, "He is here to help you sleep." I said, "Do I need to do anything?" And he said, "No." And I said, "Okay." And that was the last thing I remembered. And when I woke up, my Bible was laying on my chest. And I hadn't even had time to set the alarm on my phone. And I looked over at the clock, and it was exactly the time I needed to wake up. I was so refreshed. I thought, where has that angel been my whole life? Something the Spirit of God stirring up among us this morning. That He sends angels to guide you, to assist you, to walk you into your destiny. And they go with you all the time. Some of you that have been fighting fear, you're never alone. They go with you. Amen. Man, all that off of "there was an angel standing." You guys really know how to pull. Look here at the rest of this verse. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said to him, "Send men to Joppa. Call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby you and all your house shall be saved." God is still using words to save men. I said, God is still using words to save men and their house. I said this at the women's meeting, that we are living in a day when never before are we required, in order to make it, to live by what we are hearing. The Bible says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. And how many of you know that we have His word, and then we have His spoken word, His revelation word, that He's still speaking to us every day? In other words, words are still proceeding from the mouth of God. Amen. And He's giving them to us. How? By His Spirit. God is still looking for men and women that will get to the end of what their head knows and then go ahead and check on the inside for words. And if He can find some of us that will check on the inside for words and let those words dictate our lives, He can walk us into places to meet with people to receive things that are for the establishing of His kingdom in the earth. I believe, as I do believe you believe, that heaven on earth is not just a pipe dream. It's not just a song that we sing because it sounds good, that God is very serious and very critical about heaven being on earth, that God actually has plans and blueprints and strategies for what heaven in your life in reality looks like. And he has ways that he has designed to get you there. And the only way that you and I are going to get there is by following the dictates, the words from heaven that he gives us. God, help us to take a step back from thinking that when we gather and pastor stands to minister to us, or a minister comes to minister to us, that this is just a sermon, a gathering of ideas to put some thoughts in our heads to help us be good people. These are words from heaven. These are the words that God used to form creation that you and I are living in today. Amen. And God is still using words to change and to save men. I heard the Lord say most recently that we are living in an precedent-setting age. I said, God, what does that mean? He said, you are living in a time when new precedents are being set. Now, this can be to the good or to the bad. But the Bible told us that even as the darkness gets darker, what did he say? That the light would get lighter. And that the light would actually go into dark places and it would overcome darkness. The only way to eradicate darkness in the room is to turn the light on. It's not to try and deal with the darkness or criticize the darkness. Just turn the light on. In other words, when light is present, it takes care of the darkness on its own. Do you know that's how heaven sees you when you walk into a place? When you walk yourself down aisle 4 in Walmart, aisle 4 just got a lot brighter. I don't know what was going on aisle 4 before you got there. Some kind of crazy. But when you got there, darkness had to go. Yeah. Hallelujah. He said, you're living in a precedent-setting time. And I am leading my people still as I always have by my words. There are many of you that are here this morning. And I heard the Spirit of God say this, that you're having to push past situations that bring confusion and are causing you to second guess those words. I'm going to say it again. You need to push past situations that bring confusion that are causing you to second guess the words that God's already given you about it. It's causing you unnecessary confusion. He said this, don't look back and consider again what God has already laid to rest. Hallelujah. Don't look back. Yes. Don't rehash it. God already gave you his words to settle it. Amen. But instead, watch and pray for what is next. For God is moving you into new horizons that await. Hallelujah. He's prepared your best for you. So don't wait or hesitate. Push on through this test, for you were made for the divine. Amen. The Spirit of God has been stirring some things up in the hearts of believers, and I'm seeing him stir it up in the hearts of churches just like this, where he's taking you what would from just be the norm, and he's pushing you a little bit out of the boundaries, and as soon as you get out of the boundaries, you find out, man, there's a lot of supernatural that's starting to happen. And isn't it wild how people flock to the supernatural? Because that's where the power of God is, and that's where lives are changed. The power of God is still the only thing that can eradicate addiction. Yeah. that can eradicate depression, heaviness, that can take someone who's contemplating suicide and give them vision for their life once again. Nothing else can do it. Drugs can't do it. Alcohol can't do it. Other religions can't do it. Meditation can't do it. New Age can't do it. Crystals can't do it. Even man's knowledge can't do it. Science can't do it. The only thing that can remove the burdens off of men is the yoke-destroying power of God. And everything God's working to position and move you into is simply for that he can demonstrate the power of God through you. And you say, how? God, I just want that. How are you positioning me? Words. Words. Whenever God is moving you into something, there will first always be a word, and then there will be a work. You can mark it down. There will always be a word. You say, how do I know what my word is? You know. It grabs your attention. It makes something pop up on the inside of you and go, what was that? There's a reason why the words stand out to you that stand out to you. The Spirit of God is grabbing your attention, saying, look at this. Your guardian angels are nudging you, saying, pay attention to that. Wake up. Yeah. Stop thinking about your to-do list at Walmart. Wake up. I don't know what's with Walmart this morning. You all have a Walmart, right? Okay. Well, good, good. See, the Holy Ghost knew. Something about aisle 4. I don't know what aisle 4 is, but maybe there's a good sale. I don't know. But what's he doing? He's nudging your attention so that he can cause you to realize the words that God's bringing in front of your eyes to get you in position. Now, he's doing this with each one of us on a very personal level. But know that he's doing this universally in the body of Christ. Never before will the body of Christ need to pay attention to the prophet's words like they will have to in 2017 and the years beyond. Which means we are going to have to be willing to recognize and honor the prophet's gift when we're around it. Yeah. When the prophetic anointing of God comes through pastor, something on the inside of you ought to grab your mind and say, be quiet, I need these words. When God brings prophetic voices into this house, that's a special time. Whatever's going on, you better get there. Why? Because there's no doubt going to be words in those services that you are going to need. Because first God will bring a word and then he'll bring a work. If you don't get the words, you'll miss the work. That's why the Spirit of God's saying this morning, I've given you words. Don't second guess them. Don't go back and reconsider and rehash. You'll water down the effect of my words. And then what happens is people get stuck and stalled in a place and we can't figure out why. Why? It's because when words came, we didn't give them place. We've got to honor the word. The foundation. It's still the foundation we're standing upon. If you're second guessing what you're doing in life right now, the first thing I would say to you is, what did God say to you about it? Has he said any different? Then stay put. Don't get out of place. Stay put. Why? Because everything God is wanting to do in your life, he's bringing through those words. Hallelujah. You say, wow, it sounds kind of simple. We know that. The same principles by which we win big are the same principles by which we win small. In other words, God's still doing it the same way. There's nothing new here. He's still coming upon men and women by his Spirit and speaking words to them that give them vision for the road ahead. He's still doing it. He's still undergirding us with a power that goes beyond what we should have by the words that he speaks to our hearts. He's still using his words to reveal and uncover things that need to be uncovered. And he'll use the words of prophets in a prayer closet to get the job done. There is a wonderful woman of God most everybody's never even heard of. She was a prayer. She wasn't really a preacher. My friend Vicki Weaver's here today. She knows I'm talking about her name's Rachel Tiefetiller. And she was friends with a woman of God named Billy Brim. Awesome woman of God. And Billy Brim and Rachel really mentored Miss Billy, and they would pray together. And Miss Billy Brim tells the story that she called up Rachel one day. She said, "Rachel, what you been doing?" And this was Rachel's reply. "Well," she's a country lady, "I've been in the Oval Office underneath the president's desk digging out trash." Next time somebody calls you and say, "What you're doing," you should tell them that. Just see what they say. What was she doing? She was praying. She was getting in a place like the prophet Jeremiah. And God was using her words to affect the highest office in a nation, causing things to be uncovered that needed to be uncovered and brought to the light. Reminds me of the prophet Jeremiah. We have the book of Jeremiah, right? Before you were even in your mother's womb, what's it say? I knew you. Do you know that the prophet Jeremiah, the majority of what he prophesied, nobody ever heard him say? The prophet Jeremiah was a prayer. And he would sit in a room and pray. But there was a scribe that was assigned to him that would write down the words that came forth from him. And because that scribe wrote down those words, that's why we have the book of Jeremiah. What has God been giving you in your prayer closet that you thought was maybe not that significant? Jeremiah, that God would give you to say. That's powerful stuff. You might just find yourself underneath the president's desk in the Oval Office. Please do. If he sent you there, please go. We need some prayers in the Oval Office. Never before are the people of God going to be required to live by what they hear. If you're here this morning and you're under the age of 30 years old, I want to tell you right now that your destiny and living God's purpose for your life is going to be entirely based on the words that you hear. That if you go by what people are telling you around you, you're going to have a very hard time. Because the world as we know it is changing so rapidly and it's so chaotic that you can't just gauge what looks good and choose that and feel like you'll come out all right. What's working today is imploding tomorrow. Fortune 500 companies that are here this week are gone the next week. You can't bank on anything you can see with the natural eye. Well, it looks good. Well, she looks good. Well, she'll be all right. What does God say to you about that thing? What are the words? And if you don't have them yet, you wait. It could save your life. It could save your life. It was about 4.5 years ago, I was in New York getting ready for a service, another Saturday night. No angel this time, just me. I'm sure they were there, but, you know. And And I had just closed. I had gotten my Bible out to read. And it was like this thing in me. It was like, no, it's not time to read. Just be quiet and listen. You know, it's good to just be led by the Spirit of God when you go to spend time with God, and instead of just being like, well, I've got to read my five scriptures, and then I've got to sing my favorite worship song, and then I've got to sing Break Every Chain, and then, you know, just be led. And so I had my Bible, and I was really going to, and it was just like, just be still in my presence. And so when I did that, I just sat. There wasn't really anything great going on. And all of a sudden, I just felt the presence of God come in this room where I was sitting. And when I did, it got real strong. And then I heard God speak a phrase to me, and it was so loud, I thought it was audible. But it like boomed on the inside of me. And I heard God say this phrase: the tectonic plates of people's lives are shifting. And in my head, I thought, what are tectonic plates? I knew it had something to do with earthquakes, you know, but I was like, I was trying to remember every science class I ever had, you know. And I just sat there, and then he said it again, but he said it almost more intense. The tectonic plates of people's lives are shifting. And I said, God, what does that mean? Nothing. So I get up the next morning, and I preach there in New York. We had good services. And Monday, I get in the car. They take me to the airport. And I'm sitting at the gate waiting to get on the plane. And I'm just flipping on my phone. I'm looking through the news app, you know. And there's all these headlines. And so all of a sudden, I see this headline on my phone. And it says, small island off the coast of New Zealand shifts because of tectonic plates. And I was like, dude, there's those words. So I'm like, open, open, open. You know, I'm trying to get it to open before I got to get on that plane, and they yell at me to turn my phone off. I always get yelled at. And so I open up this story, and it's from the Associated Press. And here's what it says. There's this small uninhabited island off the coast of New Zealand that scientists were monitoring. And all of a sudden, without notice, the tectonic plates under the ocean's floor shifted so drastically that it moved this small uninhabited island 1 mile in 30 minutes. And NASA scientists were quoted in the article as saying that the shock of it was that it did not cause any destruction anywhere for the buildings off the coast of New Zealand. Everything was sound. And these scientists were quoted as saying this. Now catch this. What normally would have taken years happened in a matter of minutes due to the shift of tectonic plates. And when I read that, I knew God had sent words to me. And I heard the Holy Ghost on the inside. He said, Jen, for those that are giving me access, I am shifting things and moving them into position rapidly now so that I can position them for what I made them to do in this day. We are living in a precedent-setting time. What happened with that small uninhabited island had never happened before. And what God is working through you maybe has never happened to you or anybody in your family before. But if you will give him access and position his words as the highest authority in your life and not reconsider and not rehash and not go back and allow confusion to get in and screw you up, God's going to pick you up and do what normally would have taken years to move you into position. You say, well, who's it going to happen for? Whosoever believes. So I guess if we all believed, that'd be 100%. That sounds good to me. If God's going to do something drastically with me in a crazy rapid way, I'd rather go with friends. I'd rather go with y'all. Amen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If I'm going to be called to lead in this generation, I'd rather lead in a supernatural way. If I'm going to be a Christian, I'd rather be a supernatural Christian.
Yeah, yeah.
If I'm going to do it, otherwise, I'm just going to go crazy, make a bunch of money, do whatever I want, probably die early, not fulfill my days because the devil's going to try to kill me. Let's just get serious about this thing. If that Bible is real and it is what it is and words are still forming and shaping things and God's bringing me a word because he's doing a work, then I'm all in. I can't be half in. Not now. If God connected you to a church house that has dared go out the four walls and walk right into the pit of darkness and grab people that are bound and pull them out, you might as well get all in and be a part of that. God has positioned this church to pillage treasures of darkness. You are pillaging hell.
Yes.
You are grabbing people that hell thought owned the title to their destinies. And you are grabbing the title and you are ripping it back and walking it into the courts of heaven. I mean, we sang for like 20 years, I went to the enemy's camp and took back what he stole from me. So there was the word. I guess we're the work.
More than 20.
We don't need to bring it back. They sung it enough. But didn't we say it for years? I mean, they were still singing that when I was a pup in church, you know. I guess we're the ones to do it. Sounds like something worth getting out of bed in the morning for. Amen. Listen, God is bringing words to you to shape you and to shape your life and to shape your family, to shape your legacy, to shape Madison. When he shapes Madison, he's shaping Indiana. And when he shapes Indiana, he's shaping the nation. And as he's shaping you, he's using you to touch nations. People would look at this house and go, wow, look at their seating capacity. This is nothing. God looks at this house and says, look at their sending capacity.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Your pastor has fire for a vision. That's not a natural succession of things. He actually believes Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth all at the same time because our God is able. And that's why you are being entrusted with so much. When your pastors were telling me about all the different things that have happening, Hope Over Heroin, the outreach, the Harvest Festival, y'all just had thousands of people here. Such multiplicity of growth, even from what you did last year, reaching out, ministering to people, all that's going on here, all of that, the outreach and the winning of the lost and the getting people set free. And I remembered when I was here last year, and we would go out to eat in different places in Madison, and it just kept coming out of me, and I kept looking at them and saying, you own this town. You own this town. You own this town. You see, the Spirit of God is still searching through the earth,
saying, whom can I send? And what a powerful time it is to be a part of our VCC that as a church is replying to heaven, saying, here am I. Send me. And then you come and you find your place in the sending. Some of you are the praying. Some of you are the hands. Some of you are the setting up. Some of you are the meeting taking and the financier. Some of you are the undergirding. Some of you are the smile and the hug. Some of you are the hot dog cookers and the Coke giver outers. But you're all supernaturally empowered and anointed and equipped to do it. And just like those women that came to Grenada, the power of God hit them. Not when they heard me preach. When they encountered the first person. The work God wanted to do through that began when they hit the ground. The day of one rock star preacher doing this whole thing is gone and over. Thank you, Jesus. We are the body of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me give you this scripture, and I'm going to close with this. Got to get at least two scriptures in to feel like I did my job. You can jot this down if you want, but it's Isaiah 55. And the Lord gave me this for you all this morning. I'm sorry, 54. Isaiah 54, verse 13. And I truly believe that God has given you your city because you asked for it. And I believe that when heaven looks upon the city, he looks at you all. Chapter 54 and verse 13 says, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. You could say it like this, and all of Madison shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of Madison, Indiana. In righteousness, Madison, Indiana shall be established. Madison shall be far from oppression, for Madison shall not fear. Madison is far from terror, for it shall not come near Madison. It won't come near your schools. It won't come near your government buildings. Why? Because you're the salt of the earth, you're the light, and you're here. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against you shall fall for your sake. Verse 17. No weapon, somebody say no weapon. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every single tongue that rises against you in judgment is already condemned. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord of Madison, Indiana, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. I want to declare this over you this morning, that all those that rise against you shall fall, that every lying tongue, words fall to the ground, and they will not take shape, that though many are the adversaries of the righteous, the Lord delivers you, RVCC, out of them all. I declare over you that power is in your hands to heal, to produce, to multiply, and to bless. I declare that all authority is yours in heaven and in the earth. I declare over you that though hell may know your name, heaven has your back. I declare that you are fully supplied in everything God calls you to do, and you lack nothing in Jesus' name. Can you stand this morning? Father, we thank you that you have positioned us for such a time as this. Lord, we thank you that as we go about our days and we walk the earth, we do not walk alone. For greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world.
And Father, even those that would line up to oppose us, we say there are far more that be with us than those that are against us. And I thank you, Father, that when this church took on the assignment of this city, that dispatchments from heaven were sent at their request, that they lined the streets, that they lined City Hall, that they lined pivotal places, that they lined positions of influence, that they carry forth the word of the Lord and make the crooked places straight even before they arrive in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Angels, we say, come, go forth, and do what you have been sent to do. We will not oppose you with our words, but we walk in alignment with the word of the Lord. God, we say, position this house in the last days. Let them be an example of a city can be won. Father, let others come and see how it's been done. And they will find not a formula and no three easy steps, but they will find a three-cord strand that cannot be broken, that they know who their Father is, and they are full of your Spirit. Let it be a place, Father, where whole ministries are changed. Thank you, God, for positioning them in these last days. Hallelujah.